Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From Lower Manhattan, the center of the financial world, this is Money Talking from WNYC. Good morning. I'm Jeff Greenfield, joined as almost always by our regulars, Joe Nocera of The New York Times and Rana Faruhar of Time Magazine. You know, the old question, is the glass half full or half empty? When it comes to the economy, consumers and corporations seem to be looking at two different glasses. American consumers, they're feeling more confident, buying homes, seeing home prices rise. Retail spending is up, and not just for the latest iPhone. Consumer confidence is at its highest level it's been in 5 years. But corporations are not that happy. Investments are down. Their outlook for future economic growth is negative, and CEO confidence is at the lowest it's been since 2009. Recent bad sales from companies ranging from IBM to Google to McDonald's only reinforce that pessimism. So, Rana, you just wrote about this issue, this bipolar view of what's going on in the economy. So who's driving the bus, consumers or corporations?
Well, they're both driving, but I think that they're driving in opposite directions, as you say. Consumers are optimistic, or more optimistic than they have been, in part because the stock market has been relatively high. It's actually been goosed quite a lot by the latest round of Federal Reserve money pouring into the economy. That's not only bolstered stocks, but to a certain extent, the real estate market, where a lot of people still keep most of their money. So, you know, people are feeling better than they have in some time. But companies are looking further down the road. They are seeing a slowdown in the emerging markets. They're seeing trouble that is still continuing in Europe. And they're seeing that if we don't come up with some kind of solution to the fiscal cliff, that there may be a much higher tax burden in the new year and that growth could be slower. That's why they're putting the brakes on their spending and on their hiring.
You know, they call it the wealth effect for consumers. When stock prices go up and when housing goes up, consumers feel like they're wealthier, even though they don't actually have any more money in their pocket. So they're more willing to spend. That's one of the things that's happening right now. Corporations, on the other hand, they just have to look out 8 weeks and they see the fiscal cliff. And they're so worried about it that 80 CEOs, including a number who really don't take part in public policy, have sent a letter to Congress saying, please, please, please don't let us fall over the fiscal cliff because it'll be so damaging to business and to the economy.
If consumers are confident, will that encourage corporations, or is the corporate pessimism in the long run likely to flatten out consumer confidence? Who's running this thing, Rana?
Well, it's really interesting because you would think that if consumers can just power through the holiday season, keep spending, that eventually that'll bolster the confidence of corporations. And it may, but whether or not it's going to create jobs is another question. I think that what you've seen over the last couple of years is that this historic connection between rising profits and job creation has been broken. And ultimately, if there are not more jobs created, and ultimately if people's incomes don't start to go up, consumer confidence is ultimately going to fall.
Okay, I want to shift to another topic, one that's getting a lot of attention here in New York, and one close to our mutual business, which is the news. The incoming CEO of the New York Times Company, Mark Thompson, is being dogged by questions about what he knew when he was head of the BBC about allegations of child sexual abuse that involved one of the BBC's biggest stars. And the Times ombudsman, the public editor who's supposed to keep an eye on the paper, has even questioned whether or not he belongs in the job. Now, Joe, I know you work for the New York Times, but I have to say, given what we've seen from other institutions, whether it's the Catholic Church and pedophile priests or Penn State, the idea of sort of circling the wagons and trying to keep an issue contained, it seems to me that this is a pretty impressive display of openness on the part of the Times. What's your perspective?
You know, I think the Times' basic view is we're going to publish the news. You know, the BBC's problem really is not only that they didn't do anything about the sexual abuse when it took place, just as with Penn State, but then they appear to have, you know, squashed an investigation by their own newsroom. And that's really what is killing them now, more even than the sexual abuse itself.
Rana, whether it's the BBC or Penn State or the Catholic Church, there does seem to be something about this specific charge that takes it to a whole other dimension.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think sexual scandal, and particularly child sexual scandal, is just of an entirely different order of magnitude. I think that that's one of the reasons, clearly, that Penn State's reputation is in tatters. I mean, it's just very, very hard to recover from this type of thing. It also makes me think about whether or not big institutions like the BBC can be self-policing. I mean, there was this sort of culture there that it's its own club, it's its own entity, and clearly there were different divisions that were not speaking to each other, that were keeping information, and I think it raises that bigger question about how these institutions govern themselves.
Well, finally, as we do every week, we're going to look ahead to the stories that we'll be watching. And with me, again, Joe Nocera with The New York Times and Rana Farrukhar with Time Magazine. Rana, what is blinking on the screen this week?
So I've been thinking about gadgets, and in particular tablets. The new iPad mini came out this week, and it was a lot more expensive than people thought it would be. It's $329. Analysts were thinking it would be about $250, and the share price of Apple actually fell on that news. Microsoft's new Surface tablet is also going to be out, and it's not getting as much buzz as you might have thought. So I'm wondering if people are perhaps a little gadget fatigued, and I'm also interested and what sales of gadgets are going to be going into the holiday season, because the iPhone 5, which was really hyped by a lot of people, there was talk that it was going to change the entire quarterly GDP growth in the U.S. It did a lot of sales, but it didn't do that. So,
Joe?
Oh, this is a simple one. Who's going to sue Bank of America next week? Well, this week, the U.S. attorney in the Southern District, Preet Bharara, sued them based around allegations of wrongdoing by the unit Countrywide that they bought in 2008 and have regretted it ever since. The week before, they settled, a $2.3 billion lawsuit surrounding shareholders in the Merrill Lynch deal. They've been sued about 57 times on Countrywide. They say that they have put out $42 billion, when you count everything combined, that they have paid out for the worst deal of all time, the purchase of Countrywide.
Well, we'll be checking out those stories and indeed all the week's financial news at WNYC.org/business. And you can also take this program with you as a podcast available on iTunes for no charge at all. I'm Jeff Greenfield. This is Money Talking from WNYC. Thanks for listening.